Let's enjoy today's message by Sam Adeyemi.
Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Let's go. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So let's share briefly on the pursuit of success. I have a calling and I believe an anointing from God to teach people how to succeed. But I know that the word success gives some Christians, especially deep Christians, the creeps. Makes them feel very, very uncomfortable. And I understand why. Because today we have a lot of people who teach us, self-reliance. In describing the potentials that God has invested in man, they tell us we can do just about anything. Anything. We are absolutely limitless. Well, we know you can't do everything candidly because you are not God. You can do a lot. And you can do a whole lot much more with God's help. So, what I see there is, in the bid to avoid the extremes, then we avoid the subject altogether. So, when the church runs away from some of those sensitive topics, then Satan runs in and occupies the space, and then uses those important platforms to shape culture. Money, for example. Church ran away from money. Why? Because the tendency for extremes is very high. Very high. Church didn't want to touch it. Jesus described how sensitive the issue of money is. Even Satan understands how powerful the influence of money is on man's mind. So he leverages on money to shape people's thinking and their emotions. So Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. He was describing the God of riches, the demon Satan assigned to riches. Jesus puts that demon on the same platform with God. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. Yes. So the subject of money can be seriously abused. But when the church ran away from it, then Satan took control of it. And then even helped us to misinterpret the Bible, that money is the root of all evil. When all that is written there in the Bible is that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Any reasonable person, especially in our part of the world, would know that the lack of money is the root of a lot of evils. So, but what we should just simply do is look at the attitude of Jesus to money, God's attitude to money, and what he says we should do with it. We ran away from the subject of sex. Amazing. Amazing how hypocritical we became. Hush, hush topic. That should not be discussed. Not especially in church. Very sensitive topic. When pastor talks about it, see people looking funny. As if that's not one of the things they think about most of the day. Her attitude to it is like, in fact, when husbands and wives do it, it's like the Holy Spirit turns and looks elsewhere. Nonsense. God created it. God created sex, created us sexual beings. So if anybody was supposed to own the world, it should be God, not Satan. When we ran away from that space, Satan took it over. And it's one of the major things he uses to shape the world's thinking now. Because that subject gets people's attention. So they use it to sell anything, including toothpaste. We ran away from power, especially political power. Why? Because it is subject to abuse. Ran inside the four walls of the church. And while we were binding and losing in the church, they were making laws outside that they used to control us. Thank God we're recovering everything now. Amen. So back to the subject of success. You read your dictionary, it says that success is simply the achievement of goals. Success is the achievement of goals. It's for you to achieve your aim. It's for you to turn out as expected. I read Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. And God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness and let them have dominion. 27 says that God created man, male and female, he created them. 28, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, rule over it. He said, subdue it, rule over it, and have dominion. The way man is described there, he doesn't look to me like someone who wasn't supposed to be achieving goals. He looks to me like someone who was supposed to be able to achieve his goals. Be fruitful, be productive, multiply, replenish the earth. Subdue it, that bring it under control. Rule over it. Have dominion. That looks to me like someone who's an achiever. Someone who has capacity to achieve goals. The reality, and all of us know, is that when man is unable to achieve his goals, he's frustrated. Am I right? Because his system is not designed for not achieving goals. He's frustrated. His system malfunctions. I discovered the power in goals. The power in setting goals. Because there's a fulfillment that comes from the achievement of goals. And it's a spiritual thing. There's a fulfillment that comes from achieving goals. How do you succeed without setting goals in the first place, when success is the achievement of goals? When you live without goals, I describe it often as playing a soccer match without goalposts. It won't matter the direction in which you kick the ball. You will not score. Imagine that they say, listen, if it's a novelty match, it doesn't matter. Nobody needs to win. We're just joking around. That's fine if you have no goalposts. But if there's a trophy to be won and there are no goalposts, will you play a match like that? There'll be no motivation in the first place because nobody's going to win. That's the life of someone who doesn't have goals. The result, you know the result ahead because there's nothing to define as success. So the person who does not have goals lives permanently with frustration. Permanently. Even sometimes when hope rises, eventually it will be dashed. Because there are no goals. No way to measure the success. So it's important for us to have goals, and I'm grateful that in our church, every year, we ask everyone when we're starting the year to set goals. And I believe that there are thousands of people in our church who will look back over the last few years and have a sense that they're making progress. Even if their lives are not perfect. But you have a sense that you're making progress because you have goals. My life changed with goals. Close to 20 years ago, I discovered a law called the law of time perspective. The longer the time you take into consideration while you make your plan and take actions today, the higher you rise. People who plan for 5 years rise higher for those who plan for 5 days. So I did 30 years. Set the goals for that year, set 5 years, 10, 20, 25, 30, and then from there 40, 50, just bullet points that I wrote down. You know, it's bullet points where I prayed and I saw things should be. You know, at each stage, and I transfer them from diary to diary every year. It's amazing how my life has moved forward in phenomenal ways. There's power in goal setting. But I'll tell you that in those early days as a Christian, when I was reading the Bible, there was a passage of scripture I read that confused me. And it was Luke chapter 12. Verse 15, Jesus said, beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he went ahead to tell the story of a man who a particular year planted his crops. He said that his field brought forth, or his crops brought forth in abundance. To the extent that the man said, what am I going to do now? He said, I would love to pull down my barns or my warehouses and build bigger ones. He said, then I'll store all my crops. See, not only did he achieve his goals, he exceeded his goals. He said, I'll pull down my barns, I'll build bigger ones. He said, I'll store all my crops. He said, then I will say to my soul, relax. Eat, drink, and be merry. Jesus said, God spoke from heaven and said, you're a fool. Tonight, your soul will be required of you. Depart in heaven. Now. Then God asked him, then, whose will all those things be that you spent your life acquiring? When I read that passage, I was angry with God. Because I had read the definition of success in the Bible. To achieve goals. I said, look, what did this man do? What did he do to you? If you are going to kill someone, why should it be at the very point at which he breaks through? The point at which he succeeds. He said, Lord, this passage seems to be confirming that you don't like for people to succeed. Mm-hmm. I had heard before and read other passages of the Bible, the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man, so wealthy, had parties every day in his house. Poor man, put at his doorstep or at his gate. Poor man, Lazarus, with wounds on his body. Even dogs came, licked the wounds. The two of them died. Angels carried the poor man to Abraham's bosom. The rich man went to hell. My understanding of that, if you enjoy too much on this side of eternity, when you cross over to the other side, they'll punish you there. If you suffer very well here, blessed are the poor in spirit. If you suffer very well here, when you cross over to the other side, you will enjoy. That was my understanding. So here comes another man. He succeeds and God decides to punish him, in fact, to kill him. I said, Lord, what's going on? Of course, I'm sure you know. You know, it was not because the rich man was rich that he went to hell. It wasn't because the poor man was poor that he went to heaven. You can suffer here and suffer there. The rules for going there are different from the rules for making money. They meet somewhere, but basketball is different from football. Yeah, in football, you play the ball with your hand. They blow the whistle. In basketball, you play the ball with your leg, there's a problem, right? Good. So it's not because the rich man was rich that he went to hell. Good. Anyway, so back to this story. I said, Lord, what did this man do wrong? What did he do wrong? He said, I should read it. Again, I read it. I said, I can't see anything different. He succeeded. You killed him. He said, read it again. Said, okay. He said, read it slowly. So I read it slowly, read it slowly, read it slowly. What is written here? What is not written? And then the thing jumped at me. There was no mention of God in everything the man said. What am I going to do now? I will pull down my barns. I will build bigger ones. I will store all my crops. Then I will say to my soul, I believe that God was not going to contest anything with him. But when he got to the soul, the crops are yours, the barns are yours, even the soul is yours. No way. I'll show you who owns the soul. Report in heaven now. So, success is the achievement of goals. But we need to ask a question. Whose goals? Whose goals? Who set the goals? Not that it's wrong for you to set goals, but there's one goal you didn't set. The goal of being born into this world as a human being. You didn't set that goal. Somebody else did. And the ultimate definition of success for your life, therefore, will not be determined by you, but by the person who set the goal for you to be born into this world as a human being. Does that make sense? Ultimate success is for you to discover God's goals for your life, and for you to achieve those goals. So Romans 8:28 again says, we know all things work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose, his intention, original intention for your life. So I want to encourage someone. There's no point in you turning your life into an experiment. If you've been poor, very poor before, there's a tendency for you to think that the greatest need of your life is money and big houses and cars and all those things. If you've been powerless and helpless before, you tend to think it's for you to have power. But you ask people who have all those things, it's not given them the ultimate satisfaction yet. Don't turn your life into an experiment. It will likely end up as an accident. Some people run experiments for you. There's somebody in the Bible, Solomon David. Read his story. Do you know who I'm talking about? King Solomon. Let me speak church language. King Solomon. That's the person I'm calling Solomon David. If I was going to speak somewhere where it was in church, I'd say Solomon David. A man by the name Solomon David. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Dr. Solomon David. carried out some research. He put the results in the book of Ecclesiastes. He tried money. Solomon had money, sir. Money. They said silver became so cheap it was nothing in Jerusalem. Then sex. We all know Solomon tried. He said, whatever my eyes desired, I did not withhold. 700 wives, 300 concubines, 1,000 women, one man. Listen to me. Those women were not ordinary women. I'm telling you, they were princesses. They were the most beautiful women in town. Slim, plump. That's not politically correct. Height deprived, tall. White, black, and all the shades in between. Anything Solomon got. Then power. He had power. He was the greatest king of his time. He tried laughter. He said, I decided to try laughter. He had comedians employed permanently. Make him laugh. Laugh morning, laugh afternoon, laugh night. After a few days, I said to myself, this is madness. This is madness. This is not real life. So what was the sum of everything he wrote? Vanity of all vanities, all his vanity. There was something his heart was searching for. There was a fulfillment. There was a recognition of, yes, you got it. And he never got it. And at the end of the day, he said, you know what? Fear God. John chapter 4, Jesus met a woman by the well. She had been married 5 times. He said, go and call your husband, woman. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, that's the truth. You've been married 5 times, divorced 5 times. The man you are living with now is not your husband. You came to draw water. He said, anyone who drinks the water you are about to get will thirst again. There's nothing on this planet that will give you lasting satisfaction. Anyone who drinks the water I have to give it will be in him a well of water, springing up to eternal life. He will never thirst again. She said, sir, I want it. I've been searching for something. I thought it was in marriage. I thought it was in finding a man. It's not there. Are you searching in the wrong places? The question again. Success is achievement of goals. But whose goals? In the first place. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, God spoke to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And before you came out of your mother's womb, I ordained you. I separated you. A prophet to the nations. Your life was planned by the wisest mind that could ever be in existence. Your brain is too small to design your life. You will find fulfillment and the true definition of success in perfect alignment with his plans and purposes for your life. So when you read Hebrews chapter 4 verses 1 to 3, the Bible says that there's a rest that God has provided for us. Let us fear that we may not enter into that rest because some people didn't. And when you get to verse 3, he says that anyone who has entered into God's rest has ceased from his own works, seeing that the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Before Adam was created, your life was planned, beginning to end, settled. So I've come to the decision. I will only do work that has been finished. It is described as rest. All those things people crack their heads over, they come to you, they happen. But they happen not by your own power, but God's power and God's wisdom makes it easy. That's why Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God. So let me tie it up with this story. Many years ago, when our church was very young, and I saw this beautiful vision of a church, and we didn't look like it. And things were changing so slowly. One day I said, Lord, if we go at this pace, we will ever get there. And he took me to Isaiah 46. Verses 9 to 11 exploded in my spirit. God said, I am God. There is none beside me. He said, I declare the end from the beginning. From ancient times, things that have not yet been done. He said, declaring that my counsel will stand and I will do all my pleasures. He said, I call the bird of prey or the ravenous bird from the east. The man who executes my counsel from a far country. He said, I have spoken it. I will do it. I have proposed it. I will bring it to pass. So, each line there, he spoke to me from each line. He said, I'm bragging. I'm God. There's nobody else beside me. He said, so I declare the end from the beginning. He said, because no one can stop me in between. He said, from now, I can tell you exactly what will happen in 5 years' time with confidence because nobody can stop me between now and 5 years' time. He said, I declare from ancient times. Sometimes I do it for thousands of years. He said, I declare my counsel will stand. I will do all my pleasure. Anything I've decided to do, I will do it. I'm unstoppable. Then he said, notice the eyes in verse 11. I remember that day I took my Bible and I circled them. He said, all the eyes have to do with me. None has to do with you. He said, if I wrote there, I have spoken it, you will do it. I proposed it, you will bring it to pass. He said, I will kill you. He said, you don't have the capacity to do the things I've decided to do. So if I spoke it, I will do it. If I proposed it, I will bring it to pass. So you know what I want to say to you this morning? When you find God's plan for your life, find God's purpose for your life, God's original intention for your life, and you align with it, you are absolutely unstoppable. That's the real definition of success. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever it is that stands between you and the fulfillment of your destiny, or between you and the knowledge of that destiny, the power of the Spirit of God destroys it today. Today, the spirit of ignorance is removed. Amen. Your eyes are opened. Amen. This month, receive new visions. Amen. If I understand the Bible very well, when it comes to that thing God planned for you, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of any man the things God has proposed for those who love him. It will beat your imagination. Amen. Receive new visions. Receive new dreams. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy this month you receive new wisdom. Fresh instructions from heaven. And as you do and you receive what God says to you, I prophesy your circumstances will turn around. Favor will break out over your life. I prophesy a season of restoration comes to you. Whatever belongs to you by destiny is coming back to you now. I prophesy restoration of lost time. lost opportunities, lost relationships, lost favor. In the name of Jesus, sicknesses and diseases leave your body. Enjoy perfect health in the name of Jesus Christ. I know someone is saying, how do I find alignment? How do I even hear God when my relationship with God is not okay? I want to say a short prayer with you. Every human being was born a sinner, but one day you hear the truth. God loves you. Send Jesus to die for your sins on the cross. God wants us to ask him to forgive us. And he's going to do that. Before I conclude this prayer, if you're that honest person who says, Pastor Sam, my relationship with God is not okay, I want God to forgive me my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart? I want to say a short prayer with you. Short prayer. Can you please put your hand on your heart? I'm a sinner. My relationship with God is not okay. Or perhaps you've been a Christian before, you've backslidden into sin. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can you please put your hand on your heart? God bless you. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for our brothers and sisters. We declare and we believe that their sins are forgiven. We thank you more importantly because the nature of sin is removed from them and your nature is now in their hearts. Teach them to know you more and to love you more and to serve you more the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.